Today, we want to turn to Proverbs chapter 23. And looking, starting at verse 19. So it'll be Proverbs chapter 23 and starting at verse 19. And going on to the end of the chapter. Okay, so let's take a look now at Proverbs 23. And we're going to start at verse 19. We're going to go to verse 35. And as we now are going through the Proverbs, and we've discovered this over and over again, there's many subjects that are brought up again and again through Proverbs. God teaches through repetition. He teaches through reminding us again and again of things. Because you see, brothers and sisters, the human race is bent towards sin. And so God needs to come and revitalize us through His Word and bring up certain subjects again and again so we'll remember. The Apostle Peter put it this way in his second little epistle. He says, I stir up your pure minds. I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And he says, I will not neglect to do this as long as I'm alive, Peter said. And even after my decease, he says, that you might be reminded through the prophets and the apostles the things that God has to say to us. He wants to show us how to live. How to live in this on this planet. We're in the world. We're not of the world. And to bring us the joyful living of the abundant life that He has for us here until He comes and gets us and takes us home forever. And so actually what we're doing is we're being transformed by the renewing of our minds and being conformed daily to the image of Christ is we're getting to ready to live in heaven. And His kingdom will come, and His will be done on earth, as we pray. Do it on earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. So you're being prepared for eternal existence with a new body that does not wear out. Hallelujah. Oh, can I get a hallelujah on that one? Hallelujah. Man, no more bad knees or any of it. And so we go to the Lord, and we're blessed with brand new bodies. And all prepared to live godly lives in heaven. And so He's getting us closer and closer to that as He conforms us daily to His image here. And so these things are necessary things for us to think about, to remember, to come back to. And then also as we're going through Proverbs, and it seems that we each week have something new, something we haven't really considered yet as a theme in Proverbs. And so let's go ahead now and read verse 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Guide your heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. Wow, is that a clause? Boy, you look at that. Now that's really talking about gluttony. We have that in the next verse. That's overeating. But what way to put it? Riotous eaters of flesh. And so you might picture yourself that way when you get going real good on the turkey. Riotous eaters of flesh. But let's look at the next verse. It says, verse 21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty and drowsiness. Now God wants to give instruction, you see, about actually the result of being drunk or overeating. And making that a part of your life, you're going to have a drowsiness come upon you. Yeah, you'll be tired all the time. All the time tired. I'm tired. I'm tired today. Tired yesterday. I'm going to be tired tomorrow. Because I've been eating too much and drinking too much. And that shall clothe a man with rags. In other words, it's going to hurt your work ethic. You're going to get in trouble at work if you're a drinker. Or if you're all the time overeating and you're unable to get your work done, the boss is going to get mad at you, and you might lose your job. And so these are the warnings that God brings. He doesn't want you to live like that, walking around in a stupor all the time. Hey, what's going on, man? Kind of thing. No, He wants you to have abundant living. And so these exhortations about drunkenness and gluttony, the overeating thing. Drowsiness. Let's talk about that a little bit. Alcohol is actually a depressant. And I think most people know that in their heads, but don't take heed to it in their hearts. But a lot of people don't know that. You might not have known that. Now, the devil hates you, and he would love to get you more depressed when you're depressed. That's what he wants to do, because he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he might destroy. And so when someone's feeling blue, the little devil on one shoulder is going to start telling you and tempting you, why don't you just tie one on? Just go get stinky, rotten, drunk, and you'll feel better. And you know what? There's pleasure in sin for a season. And so you begin to drink and you get that buzz and you just might feel a little better or get happy and tell jokes and stuff like that. But when the morning comes, next morning, there's the hangover and there's more depression and deeper depression. Why? Because alcohol is a depressant. That's what it does to you. And isn't that a sneaky trick by the enemy of your soul? That when you don't feel good and you really need some help in your emotional life, that he'll give you something. Here, take this. To make it worse. And then people go downhill, downhill, downhill. And you know what? We heard of a really scary statistic last night that I think Sherry had read, that suicide is the largest cause of death in the United States today. Suicide, not heart disease, not cancer, suicide. And it's happening to a lot of our soldiers. And it's scary. But you know, there's that downhill thing that goes on with depression. And the devil is right there to help you along with that. We don't want that. Now, the Lord says in the New Testament, be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if a person is depressed and goes to church or goes to a home fellowship or gets together with some Christian compadres and you begin to fellowship in the Lord, think about some scripture. You begin to get built up. The Holy Ghost is not a depressant. The Holy Ghost is a rise up in you and call Jesus blessed and begin to experience the glory of God in your heart. And all of us, I hope, can think of a Christian fellowship time where you were there. You might have gone to a home fellowship or a home Bible study, and afterwards everybody goes out to the kitchen and you have something to eat together. You're eating together. You're breaking bread. You're loosening up because the Spirit of God's moving, and you're able to get some things off your shoulders to good friends in the Lord, and you just feel so good. And you just want the evening to last forever. Christian fellowship is the hardest fellowship to walk away from. But many people just linger at church after church and just talking and sharing. And when you go to these home fellowships or you get together with your Christian friends and the Lord has been glorified, and it's just hard to go home. And you can stand at doorways forever. And it's trying to say goodbye. But the thing is, you do go home, and you go to bed, and the next morning, when the drunk is waking up and feeling terrible with a headache and more depressed, you wake up with a bounce in your step. Wasn't that a glorious night? Wasn't that a great time? And the Lord's Spirit is fresh and new in you. His mercies are new every morning. And you're just able to face the day. And you've got a solution to your problem, not a more depression to gang up on you with your old depression. It just makes total sense. Just, why do people go the other way? And so the Lord is trying to make us understand this. Don't allow the drowsiness to come upon your life. To get into a rut of, how you doing? Don't speak to me. Leave me alone. That kind of thing. It's a rut. You know what a rut is? An open-ended grave is what a rut is. And so this thing goes nowhere fast. The Lord wants us to know that, the drunkenness. Now let's talk about gluttony. Gluttony is just simply eating too much. And it is timely that we've come to this scripture just before Thanksgiving. Yeah. And some, how many have eaten just a little too much on Thanksgiving ever? Yeah, just, oh, see, Mark's hand went up today. Mark, I'm telling you, brother. So a lot of hands we saw. Mark, you're not alone. You're with the rest of us. But did you know that turkey has tryptophan in it? What is tryptophan? Tryptophan is sleepy time. It's like taking a cup of sleepy time. It's a thing that's in turkey that makes you really sleepy. And so, you know, after you eat tons and tons and tons of turkey, you're going to stagger over to the nearest couch. And you're going to fall over. And just if someone's talking to you and you're having a conversation, your eyes will be getting heavy. And you'll feel like the Sandman has come early. And it's just the way it works. But now the thing we want to look at is this. If we get into a habit of overeating every day, just stuffing it in, stuffing it in, stuffing it in, making it what they call comfort food. You know, it just makes me feel better when I'm eating. And so you never stop. You will then develop this drowsiness about your life and have no energy. And you'll begin to then not be the good worker you want to be. Remember, a tree fell on our car not a few years back. And so the insurance company said that we needed to get some estimates on how much it would cost to repair our car. And so we ended up with this man in Garden Grove that does body work. And we didn't know him, but it turned out that he was a drinker. And so it took so many weeks to get our car back. Calling him up, he'd say, oh, yeah, that's right. I was going to get to that, and I'll get to it. And so finally, after don't remember how many weeks, it was a long, long time, but he says, I'll bring your car over to you. And so I'm waiting out on the front lawn for my car to get back, and here it comes up the street, weaving. Oh, and I'm going, oh, my Lord, I'm so glad he got this far, but I wonder if he's going to make it. And he finally got the car to the house, and he was drunk when he got out of the car. Now, do you think that if my car gets wasted again, I'm going to take it back to him? I don't think so, you know. And so this is how people lose work. It's through the drowsiness and the effects. And the Lord knows that. And so the Lord tells us, the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. They shall come to poverty. And he goes on to say, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. And it's all because of the employee-employee relationship, employee-employer relationship, and someone that can't really get the work done, like someone else that's sharp and ready to go, can do that. So there you are, the practical things that we get from Proverbs about the questions of life. Okay, now before we leave this subject, the Lord wants us to know that he understands the plight of the alcoholic. If you're in, if you fall into that, and you're just addicted to the booze, and you really don't think you are, say, I can stop drinking anytime I want. Well, you might try that. But the thing is this, is that the Lord understands the results of this. And he wants us to know this is why he speaks about it to us and convicts us about it, about the alcohol. And let's go ahead and read verses 29 through 35. This section of scripture is known by the Bible scholars as the plight of the alcoholic. And it says this, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? It actually tells us in another proverb that strong drink is a mocker and strong drink is raging. A lot of guys will fight. They'll drink and they'll fight. Who has contentions? Who has babbling? Who has wounds without cause? Or another translation, who has needless wounds? Who has redness of eyes? They that tarried long at the wine, meaning that the person that's continually drinking, they that tarry long at the wine, continual drinking. they that go to seek mixed wine or mixed drinks. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, and when it gives its color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. It's kind of a lust of the eyes there, looking upon the drink and remembering the good feelings you get at first, because there's pleasure in sin for a season, and then it goes south from there. But looking at the redness of the wine, saying, oh, it's a beautiful red wine. You know, I prefer red to white, and that kind of thing, and it moves itself aright. Verse 32, at last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. An adder is a snake. This kind of goes along with the saying we have in our society, don't we? Oh, bro, don't do that. That'll come back to bite you. You know, ever say that to somebody or somebody say that to you? That's going to come back to bite you, man. Well, this is what the Lord is saying. At last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes shall behold strange women or strange things, and your heart shall utter perverse things. There's hallucinations that come, and also the, what's it called, the delirium tremors. But here, I think King James is correct too, you know, with these strange women, that you begin to look at women in the wrong way when you're drunk. You lose the sense of conscience. You lose the sense of right judgment. And you know, there's a commercial on TV, you probably heard it, where it says, what's done in Vegas stays in Vegas. By the way, which isn't true, because the Bible says that whatever is done in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. So when you come home from Vegas, you bring Vegas with you, at least what happened there. And Mama always finds out everything. So don't be tricked with that one. But the thing is this. It's talking about the drinking. It's talking about observing strange women, women you don't know. And your heart shall utter perverse things. And this is what happens with the booze. So the Lord is warning. Yes, you shall be as he that lies down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lies upon the top of a mast. What this is picturing is somebody out to sea in the midst of the ocean on top of a tall mast reaching up from a giant ship, and you decide to lay down up there. That's not a very safe thing to do. And so that's how safe it is. If you continue with the alcohol, it's going to get to you. And then it goes on to say, verse 35, they have stricken me, shalt you say. I was sick. And one Bible scholar connects the sick, the feeling sick, with going back and forth in the ocean on the top of a mast, where the greatest leaning of flow is at the mast at the top of the ship. And just imagine the seasickness or the feeling sick. And then they have beaten me, and I felt it not. This is something that really, really happens with those that are trapped into alcoholism. There was a alcoholic man that lived in our apartment complex, and he had relatives across from us, and he would always come there to visit. And one day he came and they weren't home, and he fell over on the grass, and I could see was in great disarray. And so I thought, well, see what I can do to help him. So I went over to him, and I started to talk to him, and he told me, you know what? I got my pension check in the mail, and I cashed it, and he got all my money. Somebody rolled me and took my money. And I said, yeah, you've got big red sores all over your arms, and you're bleeding. And he said, oh man, really? Wow. And it's kind of like it was a shock to him that those were there. And I read this verse then, they have beaten me, but I didn't feel it. You know, it's the plight of the alcoholic, the plight of the alcoholic. And then this is the saddest part of all this that we have. And we're going to get positive things in a minute. But this last part is the saddest thing in all of these scriptures, verse 29 to 35, about the plight of the alcoholic. Because it says, when shall I awake? When am I going to sober up? When am I going to get back to my right mind? I will seek it yet again. Or another translation says, I'm going to go find another drink. So sad. and so bad. And all of us know about this. We weren't born yesterday. We've all seen this. We've all experienced it through seeing others suffering from this. Remember, there was a really great swimmer in my high school that was on the swim team. He's so fast and a really good surfer too. But I saw him just a few years after high school, staggering along the beach, with all bloated with too much weight, and drunk, really drunk. And you could see he'd become kind of a street person. And my heart broke. I think, man, Bruce had been such a great swimmer and really a promising athlete. And there he was, all because of the booze. So the Lord is knowledgeable about this. He knows about it. This was written 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born. Nothing is new under the sun. The same things we see in our society that kill people and ruin lives are the same things that they were dealing with 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born. That's 3,000 years ago. And so it just gives us a fatherly view of all that from the Lord in the book of Proverbs, saying, look, I've been dealing with this a long time, and I want to warn you about it, and I want you to be sharpened through it. So there it is on that situation. Now let's go back then to verse 22 of Proverbs 23, and we go on with some more exhortation here before we get to a beautiful theme verse that gives solution to all of these difficulties. And so verse 22 says, hearken unto your father that begat thee, and despise not your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begets a wise child shall have joy of him. Your father and your mother shall be glad, and she that bare you shall rejoice. And that's a blessing to make mom happy and dad happy, and the spiritual authority in your life blessed with what's happened with you and through you. As we had the verse last week from 3 John in the back of the Bible, verse 4, it says, no greater joy have I than to know that my children walk in the truth. It just doesn't get better than that. To know when your kids or your spiritual kids are walking in the truth, there's just such great joy in Jesus. Doesn't get better than that. And so this, we get more of this, and enlarged upon, your father, your mother shall be glad and shall bear you, and she that bear you shall rejoice. Now, let's look at verse 22 a little closer. Listen to your father. Just listen to him. He's lived longer than you. He's got some experience behind him and an anointing of a dad. Anointed by Jesus Christ to be your father and your mother. Anointed to be your mom. And they love you. And they're looking out for the best for you. And so we want to be careful to hearken or listen carefully to their advice. Now it goes on and says, despise not your mother when she's old. This is really important. Moms get old. My mom got Alzheimer's, and she was just really, really helpless in many areas. And we have to remember to not ever say something about mom like she's become such a burden, or she's become a child, and I got to take care of her. Woe is me. Despise not your mother when she is old. Remember, she that bore you and labored over you and prayed over you and wanted so much for your life, that we should be ready to do what we have to do to take care of mom. So important. This is the Christian way. This is who we are. And to lift up those that can't lift themselves up any longer. Gets to a point where they begin to fall and they need help, and sometimes 24-hour watching. And so you have to deal with that and figure out how you're going to do that. There's many different ways, of course, and God leads each family and in a very precious way. But something that God really wants us to remember, despise not your mother when she is old. Just make her feel like a beauty queen and just minister deeply. So that's a beautiful thing, and I really wanted to bring that out greatly. Okay, now we want to go ahead and go to the chief verse of this whole thing we're looking at today. We've listed off some things that are convicting and things that we need to be sharpened in and careful of. Now in verse 26, it says this, "My son, give me your heart." This is the whole solution to the whole thing. To listen to the Lord saying, "My son, give me your heart. Turn your heart over to me and let your eyes observe my ways." And the way you let your heart and your eyes observe his ways is to study the life of Jesus Christ. That's the way God would do it. God became a man to show us how men should live. God became a human being to show us how a human being should live. And his name is Jesus. And so we look at Jesus and we study Jesus and we ask the question, what would Jesus do? And we read in the Gospels what he did do. And what he did do is become the servant of all. And so we let our eyes observe his ways. Now, one more pitfall is listed before we come back to this key verse to enjoy it some more. But it says in verse 27, "For a prostitute is a deep ditch, and a strange woman or a wayward wife is a narrow pit. She also lies in wait as for prey and increases the transgressors among men." And so being careful of promiscuous women and the kind of thing that leads men down Primrose Lane. And it says that she increases transgressors or sinners among men. And I think of Samson right away when he fell to the lust for Delilah, the Philistine prostitute. And so these things are real. These things are to be considered along with the drinking and the gluttony and not listening to dad. And despising mom. Oh yeah, all of these things are important for Christian living. And so my son, give me your heart. This is the solution. Give me your heart. So neat that Greg picked out that last song. And it says in that last song, "I give you my heart, not the part, but the whole. Lord, I give you all of my heart." With two lines in that last song we sang before I got up to preach. So great, that always happens. I look for a confirmation of the message. And I find it often in the songs that Greg picks that I have no idea what he's picking. But the Lord does that. And we're happy about that. Greg and I rejoice over that a lot. And so, "I give you my heart." What does it say there? "Son, give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways." Now, I'd like to add a couple of scriptures to this as we talk about giving the heart and letting the eyes observe his ways. I'd like to turn with you back to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4. It's kind of a review for us. Going back to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. It says this, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, another translation, the NIV translation, puts it this way, which is also very good. "Guard your heart." Guard your heart. Put a guard around your heart. "With all diligence, For it is a wellspring of life, which connects with the woman at the well. That the water that she drinks, that Jesus would give her, would spring up, a well springing up into everlasting life. If I will guard my heart, if I will keep my heart, and then give my heart to the Lord. It's kind of like this. If a man is going off to Afghanistan to war, and he says to his girlfriend, "Would you please keep your heart for me until I get back?" And that girl is committed to this soldier, and she loves him, and she commits her heart to him, and stays a true blue Odie while he's gone off to war and his tour of duty. And he comes back, and they're so blessed together because she has kept her heart, guarded her heart. For what reason? To give her heart to him when he gets back. And you know, the Lord Jesus is saying to us here, first in Proverbs 4, guard your heart, keep your heart. And then he's saying in Proverbs 13 or 23, 26, 23, 26, give your heart. Keep your heart for me. That's what he's saying. And it's kind of like the same thing. My heart belongs to Jesus. And as I accept him into my heart, turn my heart over to him, lock, stock, and barrel. Not the part, but the whole. Not the part, but the whole belongs to him in every area of my life. Then you see my heart is lifted. My heart is filled with the joy of the Lord and the love of God because it belongs to Jesus. And this brings great victory over all these things we're talking about. Because the fruit of the Spirit of God, which comes into my heart, and I'm giving my heart to him, is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, self-control. Self-control. Be able to control, be controlled over these things that will kill you. And so what a blessing to know that this is the answer as we simply give our hearts to the Lord. And so let's go and finish one more verse now, Psalm 119:32. This psalm is so descriptive of what we're talking about. It sums it all up. It gives us a gem, a jewel from the Word of God to hang on to in this battle that we face in this world, to be in this world but not of this world. So we're going to Psalm 119, verse 32. You know what? I know what it is to not be able to get to the scripture before the pastor starts talking about it. So I'm going to wait for you. Okay, I kind of try to listen to the turning of pages. Some of you have iPods, though, and iPads, and all kinds of eyes. But so we'll give you some time here. But let's turn to Psalm 119. Verse 32. This is the last verse we're going to look at today. It says this: I will run the way of your commandments. I'm going to do your commandments, Lord. When? When you shall enlarge my heart. When you shall enlarge my heart. Then I'm going to be able to do it, God. Because you know what? I have no luck at all keeping your commandments. So I'm going to run the way of your commandments when? When you enlarge my heart. That's God's part, to enlarge your heart. Now let me give you another translation because it's really good to get another perspective. It says, when you have set my heart free. Oh yeah. Man, I need to get my heart set free from the bondages of whatever is trying to eat me up. Oh yeah. The bondages of being in slavery to the booze or to the sexual life or to whatever. I will run the way of your commandments. My eyes will keep your ways. My eyes will observe your ways when you enlarge my heart. When you set my heart free. Now, we can think of another scripture that goes beautifully with that. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And that's who does it. His name is Jesus. And I love the way I'm picturing this song. Greg, I'm just loving this song, and I'm picturing it right here. At the end of the song, it says Jesus three times in a row. What's the answer? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus will set your heart free. He will enlarge your heart, and then you are able to run the way of His commandments. It is an awesome thing that God does in setting the heart free. All we need to do is call on the name of Jesus Christ when we are tempted. He will not allow you to be tempted above, but you're able, but with every temptation, provide a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. And so we look and we say, Jesus, enlarge my heart, Lord, set my heart free. And He will do that for sure. When I was 20 years old, first saved, energetic for the Lord, and we did an outreach at Hermosa Beach. And we rented a closed-down JCPenney store. We called it The Door. And we got a band to come into the JCPenney store on the main boulevard of Hermosa Beach, just across the street from the beach. And went out on the beach, invited people to come in and sit at tables at The Door. And then they would listen to the band, and we'd serve them Kool-Aid. That's before everybody knew that Kool-Aid kills you. Serve them Kool-Aid and cookies, and then people would come and sit at the tables with them and say, well, what'd you think of the music, and would you like to accept Christ, you know, and witness? And the first part of that outreach was to go out on the beach and invite people to come across the street to the closed JCPenney, to The Door. And I was 20, and I had probably six scoops too many hormones. And I got afraid to go out on the beach. I was a new Christian. Well, I'd become a Christian in Sunday school, but coming back to the Lord, and I was just afraid to go out on the beach because of all the bikinis, and that I would look in places I shouldn't look. And I said, Lord, this is a holy mission in my heart. This is a holy mission. And I do not want to be out there on the beach and be looking where I shouldn't. And I just was desperate. And so, you see, I called on the name of Jesus. And then I learned a lesson that day that I've never forgotten. And I'm so thankful for it, and it's right here. I will run the way of your commandments when you shall enlarge my heart, when you shall set my heart free. And I went out on that beach, and I felt like I was walking on air, like I was 3 feet above the beach. And I began to look at the women on the beach as either my mother or my sister. It says in the New Testament, you should treat the older women as your mother and treat the younger women as your sisters. And I had such a powerful experience that day. All the power of heaven rushed in behind the name of Jesus to take a young, lusty guy and turn him into a preacher. And that's a miracle. And it was so wonderful to learn that I could do that. That I could look to Jesus Christ to set my heart free, to enlarge my heart for Him and for His purpose, and move quickly away from those things that are not of the Lord. And I want to pass that on to you, and I know that many of you know this, and you're just being reminded of it. When we choose to draw near to Him, He promises that He'll draw near to us. And so we just need, in those times of temptation, yay every morning, to say, Lord, you know, I choose today to draw near to You. And God will keep His promise and draw near to you and empower you and give you all the strength of heaven to face whatever things are hard on your life that will kill you or lead you down Primrose Lane, down to more depression, instead of lifting you and loving you. That's what God wants to do. Well, let's pray about that and then take communion. So, Father, we thank You so very much, Lord God, for Your word. Lord, we've read about pretty much all the things that the world's into today here in Proverbs. And yet you just had this most precious verse, verse 26, jump out and grab our hearts. My son, my daughter, give me your heart. Let your eyes observe my ways. And Lord, we want to keep our eyes on you. And Lord, we know as we do, Father, you will enlarge our hearts and you will set our hearts free. Help us every day with this, Lord. We want to be true Christians when you show up. We want to be a great example to the non-believers around us and not be a disappointment and causing people to blaspheme the name of the Lord. Oh, God, help us. Jesus, 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 we call upon you. And so I did want to give you a time of silence before we take communion today to really take any bondages that might be in your life, things that are fighting against you, people that you're having problems with, to just take these things to the Lord. And just know that nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is impossible for him. And he does want to enlarge your heart and set your heart free. And so let's take a minute to do that, just a time of silence before the Lord together. And as you individually do heart business with the Lord. So, Father, we do thank you so very much now, Lord God, that you're able to help us and lead us and strengthen us. So we pray for strength, Lord, and pray for anointing, pray for power to go your way, to observe your ways, to keep your ways. And, Lord, we know that only comes through your precious, powerful Holy Spirit in the righteous, majestic name of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we give you our hearts, not the part, but the whole, by the grace of you, by the grace of God. And we thank you so much, Lord. Now, bless communion. Make it a very precious, special time with each one, with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to take communion, and we'll have the guys come forward and the band come out. Brother, two? Okay, praise God. Two. All right, there you go. Okay, good. All right. The way we take communion here is we'll pass out the bread, and then when everybody's served, we'll take the bread at the same time together. You know, Jesus blessed the bread at the Last Supper before he passed it out to the disciples. And so we want to ask God's blessing on the bread. So let's pray. Father, thank you that you did bless the bread at the Last Supper. And Lord Jesus, we pray you bless this bread. And it would be just very, very special to each one, remembering your death on the cross. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And we're to do this in remembrance of him, showing the Lord's death until he comes. And so we take the bread in faith in Jesus' name. Okay, brother. It's like to pray, bro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's pray for the cup. Father, as you did communion with your disciples, Lord, we just picture you right here with us. Mm-hmm. As we take this representing your blood, Lord. God, that you would just wash us clean, make us white as snow. Father, because we come before you as sinners, saved by only by your grace. And we thank you for doing this and saving our life. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand together to take the cup. Jesus Christ said that this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which was shed for the remission or the forgiveness of many sins. Oh, how many sins the many are. Thinking of the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. For we're told in 1 John chapter 2, that actually he didn't just die for our sins, but for the sins of the entire world. We're on his back on that cross. And so we're so grateful. We're so thankful that all our sins are washed away, just washed away. And so we take the cup in faith in Jesus' name. If you would like prayer for anything, the prayer room will be open for you today for any needs that you might want to pray about with someone else. We do have Bibles, and they're free for the taking if you need a Bible. And may the Lord bless you and give you just a great day in Him as He continues His work in your life. Know that He's working and doing all that He can do to keep you from things that will hurt you and bring you into a glorious liberty of the children of God. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.